Let's pray. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, thank you for your presence here today and for bringing us together to hear your word. Lord, showing compassion like the Samaritan can be difficult. So Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds to understand what true compassion looks like. And help us to not just know it, but to live it out every day of our lives. Push me out of the way and speak through me. It'll be your words this morning, not mine. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. Have you ever been asked a question that completely changed your perspective? Ever. Somebody, you know, asks you something and you just kind of stop in your tracks and you're like, okay, that was either a really weird question or a very profound question, or I am a lot dumber than I think I am. Right? Have we ever been there? I'm there probably 47 times a minute. Right, you just get these questions, you know. Like if you have kids, right? Maybe your kids once asked you, "If you drink water, does the water go to your arms or to your legs?" Right? Or why are they called buildings if they're already built? Right? Like just these kind of questions that, well, I don't know why a building's called a building if it's already built. I don't have enough time in the day to really drill that one down, but you know, you understand what I'm talking about. Like, these questions just kind of stop and cause us to pause and try to wrap our head around what's going on. And really what we're going to talk about today is a question just like that. We're going to be camping out pretty much all day in Luke chapter 10, where Jesus, as he does so well, kind of flips the script and asks some different questions as an answer to a question that he was asked himself. And hopefully you enjoy it as much as I did learning about it. So there's a man that comes to Jesus with the question again in Luke chapter 10. And the question that Jesus asked back as an answer is something relevant even to us today, you know, over 2,000 years later, and it goes far beyond any boundaries. So really the question that we're going to focus on is Luke 10, verse 36, and says, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" So it's not just about the man in the story. It's not just a question for him. It's a question for me. It's a question for you. It's a question for all of us as we go out through our daily lives. So I'm going to read the entirety of Luke, of our passage. It's Luke 25 through 30, or Luke 10, verses 25 through 37, and then we'll start to unpack it a little bit. "So then an expert in the law stood up to test him, saying, 'Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?' 'What is written in the law?' he asked him. 'How do you read it?' he answered. 'Love the Lord with your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' 'You've answered correctly,' he told him. 'Do this and you will live.' But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus took up the question and said, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him, beat him up, and fled, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. In the same way, a Levite, when he arrived at the place and saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan on his journey came up to him, and when he saw the man, he had compassion. He went over to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring olive oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him. When I come back, I'll reimburse you for whatever extra you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" "The one who showed mercy to him," he said. Then Jesus told him, "Go and do the same." So let's start setting the stage here. So really the first part of verse 25, an expert in the law, right? What's the first thing that comes to mind, right? It's a scribe, it's a Pharisee, right? They know the law. They know it like the back of their hand. They know everything from, right, Genesis to Malachi, right, the Old Testament. They know all of that. If you had Bible trivia, that would be your number one draft pick, right? This guy knew the law. But there's a big difference between knowing the law and knowing Jesus. Then Jesus asked him in what, verse 25? He asked Jesus in verse 25, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And that sounds like a sincere question, right? You know, maybe a seeker wanting to know what you need to do in order to inherit this eternal life that people are talking about. And he's looking really for loopholes, right? So he's an expert in the law. So he's a lawyer. What do lawyers do? They look for loopholes for their clients, right? So this guy is looking for loopholes. What can he do to not have to do what Jesus is telling him? And of course, Jesus gives him an answer in the form of a question. What is written in the law? How do you read it? In verse 26. And the man quotes then Deuteronomy 6 and Leviticus 19, which says, love God with everything you've got. It's Deuteronomy 6 and Leviticus 19, love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus says, great, do this and you'll live. And then of course, if the man was like, okay, cool, got it, thank you for that, and then just took off, said, I will go do that. No, if he did that, then we wouldn't be having the story that we have today. No, he stuck around. And what did he do? What did he do? In verse 29 of Luke 10, he says, but wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And who is my neighbor? So what's he looking for? He's looking for left and right limits. He wants to know what is absolutely critical, and then he can forget everything else. He doesn't have to deal with all the other stuff that might come with it. He wants a very focused approach, and he wants nothing else to deal with it. He wants that line in the sand, right? He wants, like, okay, anything beyond this, I don't have to worry about. He really wants a clear-cut guidance, and that is it. And then, of course, Jesus answers him in the form of a story, right? In the form of a story, and in Luke chapter 10, verse 30, what does he starts with the story of the Good Samaritan. He says, a man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, it's important to understand this road, right? This road is 17 miles. It's rocky. It's hilly. It's a perfect place for ambushes. You know, I think a lot, you know, when I think of if I picture this, I think a lot of the mountains of Afghanistan, where a lot of our folks would get ambushed by the bad guys because, you know, they'd be kind of crawling up these little hills or these mountains, these really small trails, very easy for the bad guys to come and get a hold of them. And that's really kind of what this road, Jerusalem to Jericho, looked like, right? So that's what's going on. And then, of course, the guy gets robbed. He gets beaten, he gets stripped, and he's left half dead. And here are the potential heroes that we just read about. The priest, right, or the holy man, right, in verse 31. A priest happened to be going down that road. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He passed by on the other side. He crosses the street. Now, I'm not going to speak for you, but I know that I have been in that situation before, and I'm like, ooh, yeah, I'm going to, boop, just keep on keeping on, right? It's like when you see somebody like broken down on the side of the road. I mean, as terrible as it is, you immediately go blind. Right? Like, oh, I don't see anybody. I don't see anybody on the side of the road that might need help. Right? You just become blind because we're too busy. We got too much stuff going on. We're like, just put those blinders on. I just only see what's right in front of me. I don't want to, oops, I don't want to see anything. I don't want to have to show any compassion. The second person is the Levite, right? We'll call him the church volunteer, right? Verse 32, in the same way, a Levite, when he arrived at the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. Oh, man, I'm late for Bible study, right? Somebody else will stop. Somebody else will stop for this guy. It's cool. I don't have to worry about it, you know. Thoughts and prayers, and just keep on keeping on, right? And then, of course, the Samaritan. We'll call him the outcast, right? So if you're Jewish, you just dislike the Samaritan. You despise the Samaritan. You want nothing to do with them. Absolutely nothing. They were considered half-breeds. They were considered enemies. Hated them. Like if we think of it like in modern times, it'd be like a rival gang member. Or really in our political climate, it'd be somebody who believes, you know, has a different political ideology than you do. You know, I mean, there's so much division. That's what it was like. They hated the Samaritans. And what does he do in verse 33? But a Samaritan on his journey came up to him, and when he saw the man, he had compassion. He had compassion. He didn't have pity. He didn't have any type of, he wasn't annoyed. He had compassion, and compassion isn't just a feeling. It moves you into action. It's not just a feeling. It moves you to do something. So what did he do? He bandaged the wounds, right? He poured olive oil and wine, like the expensive stuff. He poured that on him, and he puts him on his own animal, which now means the Samaritan is then walking down the 17 miles of treacherous road where he himself could perhaps even get robbed. And then he brings him to an inn, and he tells the innkeeper, I got you. I will pay. And when I come back, anything that you spend to take care of this person, I will then repay you. That's not minimal help. That's sacrificial love. And then, of course, Jesus, in his amazing way, offers the punchline in Luke 10:36. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And the lawyer can't even say the Samaritan. He can't even say the word. That's how much he despised him. And he says, the one who showed mercy. The one who showed mercy. Then, of course, Jesus says, go. Go and do the same as what the Samaritan just did. So here's three lessons from this. Compassion is the mark of a neighbor. It's a mark of a neighbor. You know, when Jesus flipped the question, the lawyer asked, who's my neighbor? What is he actually asking? Who do I have to love? Who do I have to love? Where's that line? Then Jesus asked, which of these was a neighbor? Which one of these was a neighbor? Instead of asking who qualifies you for love, ask if you qualify as a loving person. Do you qualify as a loving person? Really what we need to do is, you know, we put ourselves on these, you know, if we were to write our, you know, draw ourselves or our, you know, like, a graphical depiction of us on a piece of paper and then just start circling, you know, us and, you know, maybe people around us. once we're done, and everybody that's around us on this paper or whatever, does everybody have a circle around them? Or are we leaving some people out because we don't really get along that well? I don't need to show compassion or love. I'll just kind of cut them out. I'll just make a kind of a half circle on this particular part of my life. Or are we including everybody, right? Are we including everybody? You know, it's like, I mean, if you ever have, you have kids, right? You have kids, and maybe they have like a roll of duct tape, and you're already annoyed because they're using your expensive duct tape, but they put it on the ground, right? And they do a line like, this is your side, this is my side. If you come onto my side, I'm going to break your kneecaps, right? Do we do that? Yeah, of course we do, right? We shouldn't. That's, you know, our human nature. We're not doing what Jesus is showing us and teaching us and telling us that we need to do. We need to get rid of the duct tape. Compassion is more than feelings. It's action. There's something, and when we have compassion, there should be something that we do on the other side of it. There should be an action that comes with it. So the Samaritan didn't just feel bad. He did something. He sacrificed time, money, and convenience. And he got messy. He got messy to help this person who a priest and a Levite just walked right past, or not even walked past. They walked on the other side of the street and said, no, man, I don't have time for this. I don't want to show compassion. I don't want to show love. I just want to get to where I'm going. Of course, the Samaritan didn't. James chapter 2, verse 16 says, if one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? So compassion without action is just a sentiment, right? It's just, maybe it's a little something you feel, but real love will move us into that action piece. Real love will move us into doing something. And compassion reflects Jesus himself. So let's look at a little bit of a deeper meaning. Humanity was beaten and left for dead by sin. Religion walked by and couldn't save us. Then Jesus came, and an outsider to many people, he had what he had, compassion. He healed our wounds with his blood. He paid the price for our care at the cross. And the coolest part is he promises to come back. Right? Promises to come back. He's showing compassion. And when he says go and do likewise, he's not just saying be nice. Right? Oh, just be nice. He's saying, love like I love. Love like I love. And that will cost us something. That will cost us something. You know, I'm sure for many of you that maybe, I don't know, maybe didn't grow up in the church or whatever, and when you accepted Christ and you had this love of Christ in you, it might have cost you something. It might have cost you some friends, perhaps even some family. It costs you something to accept, receive, and then reciprocate that love. But why don't we love like Jesus loves? Why don't we do that? Inconvenience, right? Inconvenience, we don't have the time. You know, I always use the illustration of being in the grocery store, but really it can be anywhere. Right, you're there, you have a very narrow focus, you want to do what you need to do, and you want to get out so you can go and do the next thing that you have on your list, right? We can't be inconvenienced by the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? We have to live it out, and by living it out, that means we're going to be inconvenienced, but if you're truly living out the gospel, it's not really an inconvenience, it's a privilege to be able to share the gospel with other people, to get them to understand that the the relationship that you have, the love that you feel is so worth any type of, oh, if it's going to take me an extra 5 minutes to do X, Y, or Z, it's cool. It's totally worth it because I want the Holy Spirit to work in you like he has been working in me. It is absolutely worth it. Now, what about fear? Fear is a very real thing that a lot of us might have. Maybe fear of rejection, fear of, you know, losing friends or family, fear of whatever. You know, a lot of people be like, oh, this is just a scam. You know, this you know, happy guy in the sky, whatever they say, right? That's when we tell our story. That's when we tell how the Holy Spirit dramatically transformed our life. And if it wasn't for that, if it wasn't for Jesus' death on the cross for your sins and mine, we wouldn't be where we're at. About prejudice, right? We like helping people who are like us, right? I think it's one of the more difficult things for many churches is to go out and meet people who aren't like them in an effort to try to get them to be not like that, but to be in a relationship with Jesus, right? So perhaps it's that, but it's prejudice. We don't want to deal with anybody who doesn't have that same heart for Jesus as we do. Well, how do you think those people got a heart for Jesus? It could have been somebody going to their front door and says, hey, I just want to tell you how Jesus dramatically changed my life. I'm not asking for you to accept him right now. I just want to tell you the story. I just want to plant that seed and let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does. But Jesus demolishes our excuses. Because love, real love, doesn't ask, do they deserve it? It asks, what does God want me to do? What does God want me to do? Really, we're looking at his will, right? Are we aligned with his will? What does he want me to do? There was a guy who saw a homeless man outside the church one Sunday. Instead of handing him a tract and saying, you know, God bless you, he took him to lunch, prayed with him, hung out with him for a couple hours. That's what compassion looks like. Not just handing him, a tract or even a Bible and said, hey man, I hope you come into church with us and worship with us. No. Compassion is grabbing that person by the hand and says, I love you. Jesus loves you. I would love for you to come into church with me. And hey, if you don't want to go into church with me, that's cool. We can go do church at Perkins. We can go do church at McDonald's. Wherever you want to go and get you something to eat, let's go do church there. And I'm going to tell you the story of Jesus. So how do we grow this heart of compassion that we've been talking about this morning? It's really not as difficult as you might think. First, we need to look at everything through the eyes of Jesus. Look through everything through his eyes, excuse me, and start your day by asking, Lord, help me see people the way that you see people. Help me see people the way that you see people so we can get into that mindset. Allow your schedule to be interrupted. I know that's a tough one. I know that's a difficult one to wrap your head around, but compassion very, very rarely is going to fit in our calendar. Right? Very rarely is it going to fit into our calendar. Give generously your money, your time, your energy. Give it all to God in any way that you can. It's so critical. You know, really, many people will say the most valuable resource that you have is your time. And especially when we're trying to reach people with the amazing love of Jesus, Your time is what they need. They need your time. So critical. And then start small. Start small. I know we all want to change the world. We all want Jesus' name to be spoken by every person in the entire world. But let's start small, right? You know, SMART goals, right? Achievable, measurable, whatever. Let's start small. Let's start here. Let's start in Burlington, North Dakota, and then let's allow the other disciples that we are making, because what? We are disciples that make disciples that make disciples, and let's all create this sphere of influence for Jesus to go out and change the world. And we are starting with that one person in our own circle. Good Samaritan isn't just a moral lesson. It points us to the gospel. It points us right to the gospel. We're not the hero in this story. We're not the hero in this story. We're the guy in the ditch. All right, we're the guy in the ditch that needed the help. We needed the hand up to get out of the ditch. And we received that hand up when Jesus died on the cross for us. Sin left us completely broken. Romans 5:8 says, "But God proves his own love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So that's the ultimate act of compassion, isn't it? To die for us. Then what we can do as followers of Jesus, again, is to show that same compassion to others and point them to Jesus. So here's a question for you. Which of these was a neighbor? Which of these was a neighbor? It's not who deserves my love, but will I be a person of love? Will I be a person of love? The world is full of people lying in the ditch, right? Physically, emotionally, every which way. There are bajillion people lying in the ditch. What are we going to do? Are we going to take a step to the other side and walk by and just hope that somebody else is going to reach out to them and help them and show compassion to them? Or are we going to be the ones that kneel down and say, you know what, let me help you up. Let me do what Jesus would do. The measure of our faith is not how many Bible verses we can quote. It's how much we love like Jesus. It's how much we love like Jesus, right? I get it. There are people that are difficult to love sometimes, but the Bible is very clear in not putting left and right limits on how and who we are supposed to love, right? It's everybody. Everybody. There's a few reflection questions. I just wanted to point them out. You can answer them either now or later. They're really for yourself. But who in your life needs compassion right now? Who in your life needs compassion right now? And the second one is, what's one practical step you can take this week to love someone outside your comfort zone? This week, next week, you know, this month, right? August is brand new, right? Maybe this month. Maybe you're not the type that would go outside of your comfort zone very often. Maybe it's very uncomfortable for you. And that's awesome, because that means that God is going to do some cool stuff as you do that. So maybe it's this month. And third, how does remembering Jesus as the ultimate good Samaritan change your perspective? Right? The whole point of this message was to change our perspective into how do we show compassion? How do we show compassion? And then, of course, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of robbers? I pray that I and you are that neighbor. That we're that neighbor that shows compassion when things are, you know, when somebody's down and out and they're struggling. I pray, and I know that I am going to fall short sometimes. Right? And you are going to fall short sometimes too. That's just the fact of life, being a sinful person, right? We're going to maybe be selfish once in a while. We're going to, you know, ignore. It's going to be too inconvenient to do something. But I pray that by and large, we are those people, those neighbors, like the Samaritan. And I pray that you just continue to do what God has called you to do, like we talked about, right? To follow his will. Follow what he has called us to do, to show compassion, to show love, to just surround ourselves with him so we can then surround other people and show them the amazing, really kind of life that Jesus has given us, not like a material life, but the eternal life that we will have when we go and see him in heaven. And that's the ultimate goal, right? For everybody to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we start by showing compassion. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that when we're broken, you came to us. You didn't just walk by, Lord. You stopped and you saved us. Father, help us to love like that. Lord, as we leave this place this morning, give us the eyes to see the hurting. Lord, give us the courage to not cross the street, but instead go directly to the person that needs us. Give us the hearts that are ready to serve. Father, help us to love like you love. Even when it costs us something. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.